I see you whole and perfect. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Capo, California, with Instant Illumination. I see you whole and perfect. Now, the Reverend Dr. Ellen Jeremini takes umbrage with that phrase. And she says, "What do you mean, I see you whole and perfect? Herb, you told us not to use I see you whole and perfect." Oh, I did say you should use it. And what did I tell you not to use?
Do not order people around and say, "You're all imperfect, you're all imperfect, you're all imperfect." To say to the people, "I see you whole and perfect."
Okay. Now, what do you think of the first one, "I see you whole and perfect"?
I see you whole and perfect. That gave me this morning when you explained it to me a nice feeling, because you said the Christ in me sees you whole and perfect.
I am the Christ.
I am the Christ, and the Christ in me sees you whole and perfect.
And I can only see you whole and perfect.
Yes. Okay. And that is beautiful.
Okay. Now, if each of us is the Christ, and we can only see others or and ourselves whole and perfect, then where does any disease or illness or unhappiness come in? How does that ever get in the picture? Does that come from someplace? Is it what created it? What brought it into being?
A mental attitude.
Sylvia says it's our mental attitude that brings those things into being. Well, what brings the healing into being?
Also mental attitude.
Mental attitude. Well, why don't we be aware of this mental attitude? Why do we let the mental attitude be aware of us and manage us? Any comments?
Good question.
A good question. That's
because
good.
We are,
that's a good way to get around.
We don't like it. We don't like ourselves.
Ah, so we don't like ourselves, and so then we do things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And what sort of things do we say when we say we don't like ourselves? What sort of comments do we make?
Oh, nothing works. Everything.
Nothing works.
Nobody likes me.
Nobody likes me.
Well, things like that.
What's the matter? Don't you know any of them?
No,
we don't.
Oh, that's
really
a good
know
thing.
Those things.
That's a good thing. How about you, Ingeborg? You don't know any of those either, huh? You would be wise to say yes. That's true. Because now I say, do you know the other ones? What are the positive statements that you have for yourself? What is a positive statement?
I love you.
Yes, I love you, but what do we teach?
I am whole and perfect.
I love me.
I love me.
Yeah, I like me. I love me. Now, what happens when I like me?
When I like me, all is in divine order.
I see others, and I love them too, and I like them too. And all is in divine order. Now, how can we handle that for everything in our life? How can we handle that when we look out there and see the illusion of something? We see the appearance of something, and it does not look like something I like. Now, okay. I told you a story about May Rowland, remember?
Yeah.
She was the head of Silent Unity when I was there, and she was quite a lady. She was a tough old girl. And she lived in the area there, near the Silent Healing Ministry, and she was in a group of row houses, you know, and she was at the end of the street. And one day she was at her home, and Missouri is known for some good twisters sometimes, and she was at the end of the street, and she looked up the street, and there came a twister heading down the street toward her house. It was a couple of blocks away yet, coming down her way. And she says, "No way! I surround this house with my pure white light of love. Everything's in divine order. No way!" And then she closed her eyes and said, "It is done." And she liked to say, "It is done, Father. You know, it is done." And then she opened her eyes, and there was no twister. Now, was she imagining something? It was untwisted. A twister, yeah. Was she imagining something, or was she was it not real? Wasn't it there in the first place? Well, perhaps it wasn't even there in the first place. But the thing is, it could have been there and could have been quite real for her if she had continued to create it. If she had continued to give it her creative juices and say, "Oh, I'm frightened! Oh, it's going to be terrible!" You know, and then lo and behold, Shazam! It busts her up. Now we know the miracle of twisters. A twister will go through a town, tornado or things like that, and it'll go down one street and it'll turn the corner, go up another street, and then it'll go across the middle of several houses, and then it'll take off a whole series of houses, maybe six or eight of them, and then turn off again into a vacant lot where there's no houses, you know, and then you look at the zigzag path and you say, what could cause that? And it was all illusions. You can be sure that somebody along the way was speaking their word somewhere, some positive thought was being made. And you say, oh, surely not. Oh, did they research it? Did they? People were too scared to talk about it at the time, but perhaps they did research it. And yeah, you could go to the people whose houses were untouched, and you could say, what did you do? Well, Dr. Marley, this is what we did. I suppose you'd like to know, wouldn't you? I said, yes, I would. Well, what we did, we had an invitation to go to Florida. And so we went to Florida. But before we went to Florida, I said to my wife, Jessie, now, together, let's hold hands and let's say, we surround our house with our pure white light of love. All its ways are peace and all its paths are pleasant. And we wrap this house in our blanket of love and joy, not to protect it, just because it was our joyful presence. And then we went away, and we were not the slightest bit concerned, and we didn't listen to radio and news and TV reports on what was going on. We did not. Now, isn't that interesting? Isn't that interesting? I was talking to a friend the other day, and the friend told me about a prominent businessman who was having a problem. And she told me about this on the day that the inauguration was taking place, or the day before, and I thought to myself, that's interesting. I wonder what is coming next from her. And I listened, but she didn't mention anything. And then I didn't mention anything. In fact, I haven't mentioned anything about it, even to now. But this is what happened. On that very same moment that he made his announcement, on that very same moment, a plane took off from LaGuardia Airport in New York, and a couple of geese flew into its propellers and killed it, and the plane had to ditch in the Hudson River, and everybody got off of the plane safely, and then the plane sunk. It was the Skybus, and it sunk right to the bottom of the river. Now, not one person was injured, and not one mention of that was made. But isn't that interesting? And in other words, we should have said, oh, I surround that plane with the pure white light of love, and everyone's okay, which of course I did, and I'm sure many others did too. But they didn't even know about it. They didn't even know about it. Now, if you go on to your internet and you go on to your news report of New York, you'll find they're still talking about it, because it was quite an adventure. And the pilot stayed with the ship, made sure everybody got off perfectly, make sure everybody was okay, and one lady broke two legs, you know, but otherwise she was okay. And as freezing as the temperature was 21 degrees, you know, the water was 41 degrees, and that's cold. And the people all got a little hypothermia and so forth, but nothing serious. And everybody was immediately taken away to the nearest hospitals and given help, and they're all just fine. Now, you see, here, the story of one man and his significance to the world was important, but the story of these 73 people who were aboard that airliner, plus the staff, who walked off uninjured except for that one person breaking their legs. They didn't. I didn't bother reading what happened, why it happened, and so forth. And there was even a little baby in there. And the little baby came through just fine, too. But you see, isn't it interesting? Now, why is it that those geese flew into the engine? What, if it flew into one engine, the plane could have turned around and landed because it would have had sufficient power to do that. But if both engines, there's a flock of these geese that went out, poings, and they knew the geese were in the area, and they tried to avoid them, but there they were, you know? And quite fascinating, quite fascinating. Now, when the head of Silent Unity, May Rowland, spoke her word and said, "No way," then it was it. Now, instead of the passengers on the plane looking out and seeing a little fire out on one of the engines, they could have said, "No way, you're whole and perfect, Jose," you know? And what would have happened? It didn't hold them perfect. But the thing is, it scared the bejabbers out of them, you know? So they looked at the appearances, and they acknowledged the appearances, and they spoke to the appearances, and the appearances became their appearances. Now, fortunately, everybody on that plane was so naive and so childlike and so innocent, nothing can happen to me. Well, the one lady broke her leg, but that was not anything serious. It's repairable, you know. Mm-hmm. And the little baby was all right, and the pilot and his three crew people, he got them all off too, and everything. And he stood on the wing until everybody was gone, and then he swam to the nearest boat, freezing. You know, it was really freezing. But what an adventure! But somebody, and you can be sure. Now, he had, the pilot had been on many investigations of air crashes and other things. That was part of his work before he became a full-time pilot, rather a part-time pilot, because he was retired and he was just doing this here. But he was still top of the, he did the right thing. And it was an amazing thing that he did. And so Ellen answered the phone, and it's all about printing and the color of our new book and so forth. She's always into things. She loves these beautiful illusions. Now, I told her, I said, "Ellen, just see it done.
I see it done.
See it with the perfect color and with the perfect embossing of our symbol on it, and everything ideal. And it really doesn't have to be the embossing of our symbol. It could be the photograph of our symbol, not the photograph, you know, the color, the color reproduction of it. But what sort of things are important in your life?" May Rowland spoke her word, and the tornado was inadvertent. Madeline spoke her word in Florida, and her house was surrounded by her pure white light of love, and the wind knocked off her little mailbox cover out in front of her house, and it distressed her very badly. But that's because she wanted complete protection. She wanted complete, but the thing is, she didn't believe it. If she believed that she completely surrounded her property with her pure white light of love, it would have been so. And you see, a lot of times we say, "My property is surrounded by my pure white light of love," and your neighbor left their lawnmower in your front yard, and it was drifted away. You say, "Oh, come on, that's silly." "Oh, really?
No,
really?" When you create an illusion, you create some interesting ideas about it. We talked about the zigzagging tornadoes. We talked about these things. Nature does many wonderful things and powerful things, and it's up to us what causes we put in motion about them, and how we demonstrate them in our life. Now, it works. This is the principle that works. You are the creator of your world, I'm the creator of my world, and all of the experiences we have. And you say, "Well, why don't you get rid of some of your bad experiences?" Well, What bad experiences are those? I surround myself with my pure white light of love, and everything I do and everywhere I go, it works out in perfect divine order. For whatever is my highest good. Now, there were several people who were supposed to get on that plane that dropped into the river, and they couldn't make it. And they think to themselves, my, were we blessed, were we guided right? Well, if you're going to crash in a plane, crash in a plane that doesn't do any, so to speak, damage, you know. To the plane, yes, and your luggage, yes, at the bottom of the Hudson River, you know, but I'm sure they got that all out too. But the big thing is, think about it. I make it sound funny and ludicrous, and that's just what it is, funny and ludicrous. Because we're working with something that's so grand and so beautiful, principle. There is a power in this universe greater than you are, and you can use it. And that power is the principle. The principle is greater than anything and anybody, and it exists for everybody to be used in any way. There is nothing greater than you are, but the principle you use has a greatness to it that transcends you and everything else. Because principle says there is no
logic, no reasoning.
And there is no good nor bad. There is no right nor wrong. And you see, that's hard for you and me in our logical reasoning way of looking at life, to look at life. Because we want to put logic and reason on it. We want to put right and wrong. And it doesn't exist. So, what are you ready for? Are you ready for a magic flute? Are you ready for the idea the hurricane, the tornado goes zip, zip, zip and leaves you alone? Well, why don't we start a new procedure and say, I surround this world with my pure white light of love, and all its ways are peace and all its paths are pleasantness. And every possibility of nature being inadvertent or untoward for mankind is no longer a fact. All of nature works 100% to the benefit of humanity. All nature works 100% to the harmony of humanity. And where once a tornado was a fearful thing, now the tornado is just a dancing in the sky of the winds going by, with nothing more powerful than that. And that's what it's all about. That's what it's all about.
Cool.
Now, Pollyanna? Sure. Truth? Sure. Reality? Sure. Now?
Yes.
Yes. Sure. Have a lovely day. And remember, whatever way you think it is, that's the way it really is. I love you.
I love you.
I love you.
I love you.
I love you.